So what I want to do really is I'm going to skip ahead then go back because I want to finish off one topic and go back to a different topic. So what we're going to do is last week we spoke about Lot going into Sodom and his choice of Sodom, Lot's challenge with Chemdas Mammon, with his love of money driving him, and why he chose to go to such a wicked, terrible place. So I just wanted to speak about Sodom for a few minutes just to add an extra point about Sodom. A little point about Lot and his daughters, and then go back to Avraham again. That's my goal today. So, this first, I guess, out of the text. It's a very interesting thing. Last week we described that Sodom is called Kegan Hashem Ki Eretz Mitzrayim. Sodom is a place described like the Garden of Hashem, like Gan Eden, as it were, and Ki Eretz Mitzrayim, and like Mitzrayim, like Egypt. And it seems to be total opposites. Gan Eden is the most Kedusha, the most Tahara in the world. It's a place of spirituality, a place of Hashem's blessing. And Egypt is called Erev HaSa'ar. It's an immoral, place of people who do terrible things. Mm-hmm. So how is Sodom described as both? What exactly is that description? And interesting enough, Lot goes there. Lot, we said, is a conflicted character, as it were. No, he's Avraham's student, Avraham's nephew. He has a lot of good within him, but yet he also has his challenges. And we see that Lot, through his, the story of Sodom, at the end, he gives birth to children, Ammon and Moab. We'll talk about that story soon. And Ammon and Moab become ancestors of Mashiach. So Lot had within him the sparks of Mashiach, and that came out through his time in Sodom, it seems. So how do we understand that exactly? So I just want to maybe explain, again, out of the text for a moment, just this concept of how Sodom could be the place for Mashiach that actually produces a Mashiach. How could that be? And it's a quote from the Medrash. The Medrash says, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Matsasi David Abdi, I found David my servant. So the rabbis say, Heichan Matsasiv, where did I find David? I found him because I found him somewhere. It says, B'Sodom, I found him in Sodom. Meaning that the rabbis are teaching us that David's roots are found in Sodom. He wasn't born until hundreds of years later, but his roots are found in the story of Sodom. So how do we kind of put that together and say that Sodom, the city that was so wicked, had to be destroyed, totally overturned? How could that produce David HaMelech? So I think it's an important point to understand. Hashem, when he created Sodom, he created it in a very unique way. Kegan Hashem Ki Eretz Mitzrayim, what it means is that it's a place that has the blessing similar to Gan Eden or Mitzrayim, which have similarities. What's the similarities? The Torah tells us in Mitzrayim, they don't have to work very hard to produce their crops. The Nile would overflow, it would irrigate the fields, and produce would grow. In Gan Eden as well, Hashem just provided Adam and Chav with everything. The trees grew, and the fruits grew on their own. There was no work necessary in order to make a livelihood. And they would just go pick fruits and eat them, and they'd be in good shape. So there's a common denominator between the two. The big difference, obviously, is that Gan Eden was a place where all needs were provided for, and it was a place of Kedusha, in connection to Hashem. Mitzrayim was a place where needs were provided for, that the farming was easy, but it was a place of impurity, a place of immorality. That was Mitzrayim. So the point is like this. There's a concept of what we say, Zelu Mazeh Barokim. Hashem creates things that are equal and opposite. I mean, there's a concept that for everything which has a potential for good, there's potential for evil. Because it has to be always an equal and opposite playing field. So Sodom is a place that has in it two opportunities. I mean, why would Hashem make a city here on earth that doesn't really require any work? You can move in there, and it's like Gan Eden. The things are just, it was a place, like it says, in Lot saw, he saw, it says, Kol Kikar HaYarden, and he saw Shekulo Mashke. It was totally irrigated. Everything there was just, it was the best farmland around, and there was no work required to make a living. It was just very easy to make a living in snow. So why did Hashem make such a city? So the potential of Sodom was one of two things. It could be used for incredible goodness. Hashem could say, okay, I'm putting you in a city where you don't have to work for a living. The crops are going to grow easily. So you're going to have a lot of prosperity and a lot of free time on your hands. How do you use that prosperity? How do you use your free time? So the goal was to be, well, we will help others with it. We will use the time to connect to Hashem. We'll use the prosperity to give out to the poor, to support people during times of famine. Then we'll use our city as a bastion of goodness for the world. That was one approach. The other approach was, no, we'll be selfish. We'll enjoy it all on our own. We will ban anybody from taking of our wealth, and we'll live a life of selfishness. So they had two options, and they had to go through that struggle. How do we use our wealth? What do we do? And Sodom, unfortunately, chose the wrong way to use their wealth. Some said, we're going to become selfish. We're going to use all of our wealth just for our own good. We're not going to allow any guests. We're not going to allow any visitors. We're not going to give any tzedakah. What's mine is mine. What's yours is yours. And finish. That's Sodom. So they made a choice, and they chose to use it for selfish purposes. Hashem's intent, what Hashem wanted out of Sodom, I mean, Hashem made the city in this manner that was so prosperous, He wanted them to choose to use that wealth, that prosperity, to help the world and to help others. All needs are provided for you. What are you going to do with it? That's the question. So Sodom was Kegan Hashem, Geres Mitzrayim. It had potential to be a place with the Kedusha of Gan Eden, with the impurity of Mitzrayim, and both were places of prosperity, of much material wealth, and easy parnasa. They can make a living in a very easy way. So what do you do? How do you deal with it? So instead of Sodom using it for the good, they used it for their own selfish purposes. They reveled in their materialism, in their lust, their own desires, and they didn't give to anybody. They made laws against chesed. They made laws against guests. They made laws against tzedakah. That was the city, because they took it in the total opposite direction of where they should have taken it. So, but the potential in that city was great. It was a place where the potential was, this could produce the world's bastion of chesed, of kindness, that can come out of Sodom. So the spark of David HaMelech is there. Because why David HaMelech represents the entire royal dynasty of Klal Yisrael. And the role of the Jewish king is to provide for the people. That's his role. What's the king supposed to do? Supposed to be the one who's at the head of the country and make sure everyone's cared for, everyone's provided for, everyone has food, everyone has houses, everybody is supported. That's the king's role. He's supposed to be the leader in terms of chesed, the king. That's what he's supposed to do. So David HaMelech, even though Sodom was destroyed, the spark of goodness, the potential for good that Sodom actually had, which was never brought out into fruition, David HaMelech carried that out. David was the one who was able to say, I'm going to carry out Sodom's real mission. And so David, his ancestors were found in Sodom. His roots are in Sodom. He's born many years later, but we trace him back to Sodom because that potential was there. So Lot went to Sodom. And Lot had this struggle. Lot saw the materialistic values of Sodom. He saw their selfishness. He saw how depraved they were. Deep down, Lot had, as we said, chemdas mammon. Lot had a struggle with money. Lot was seeing dollar signs in his eyes. That's all he wanted. But on the surface, you know, Lot, some say Lot went there doing Kiruv in mind. He said, I can go to Sodom and I can influence them for the good. And Sodom has the power that if they chose to do good, they would be an incredibly powerful city of goodness. That's their potential. So on the surface, Lot may have had an excuse for going there. His excuse was, you know, I see the potential here. I want to go and teach them about chesed and change them around. Deep down, I think it was an excuse, because deep down, Lot was money hungry, as we see. And therefore, Lot was using it as an escape from Avram's lifestyle rather than as a real opportunity to reach out to others. But we see that Lot had that struggle, and the potential was there, and that Sodom could have become a place of absolute goodness, because Hashem gave them so much prosperity so they could support the world and help other people out. So I think it's just an important outlook on Sodom that we have to take. Sodom wasn't just created, rotten, and destroyed. Sodom Hashem gave a purpose to. I want Sodom to become the city that becomes the landmark for chesed. But the choices that they made, there's always the equal and opposite choices. And therefore, Zelu Mazeh, you know, they chose to take it in the wrong direction. And instead of becoming the absolute city of chesed, they became the absolute city of selfishness. Total opposite. So that's one interesting this take on Sodom. Just to kind of bring the story to its close, so we know at the end Sodom was destroyed, and this is part of a Yerelis page. Go to page 91. So Lot is saved from Sodom. And he requests from Hashem to go to a city called Tsoar. Tsoar, Lot had an understanding, was not as wicked as the other cities. The rabbis say that Tsoar was a place where it was a newer city, so they had accrued less, you know, sins against them at that point. But they ended up in Tsoar, and he went to this cave. So look at the beginning of page 91. So it says he dwelt in a cave with his two daughters. So the daughters, they thought the world was destroyed. I mean, they had just witnessed Sodom and all the cities around being overturned. And as we know in the story, they thought they were the final survivors of the human race. So they said, the older one said to the younger, our father is old and there is no man in the land to marry us in the usual manner. Come, let us ply our father with wine and lay with him that we may give life to offspring through their father. So they thought there's no one left in the world, and they said, we have to carry on the human race, which the intentions may have been the right intentions, and therefore, we'll get our father drunk, we'll conceive with him, and we'll have children. So the story continues, they plied their father with wine on that night, and the older one came and lay with her father, and he was not aware of her lying down and of her getting up. It was on the next day, the older one said to the younger, behold, I lay with my father last night, let us ply him with wine tonight as well, and you come lay with him, that we may give life to offspring through our father. So both girls, one after the other, they got their father drunk, they lied with him, and they conceived children. So they plied their father with wine that night also, and the younger one got up and lay with him, and he was not aware of her lying down or her getting up. And they say Lot was so drunk, he was not aware of this whole mess. This is an interesting aside. In halacha, halacha often defines levels of being drunk, because it has different ramifications. Can you make a bracha if you're drunk? Can you daven if you're drunk? Can you do mitzvahs if you're drunk? So there's one level, the highest level of being drunk is called shechruso sholot, Lot's drunkenness. And if you get to that level, you're totally putter for mitzvahs, because we say you have no das, your mind is totally turned off, and we can't, it's like somebody who's a shota, who's not chayav mitzvah, somebody who's totally, his mind is not there. So too, if somebody gets drunk, the level of shechruso sholot, Lot's level of drunkenness, they're not obligated to mitzvahs at that point, so until the wine wears off. So it's an interesting aside. But they thought, again, the intentions may have been the right intentions. They thought that nobody's left in the world. Halachically, if what they did was right or wrong can be discussed, but they went, they got their father drunk, and they conceived children from their father. So verse 36, thus Lot's two daughters conceived from their father. The older bore a son, and she called him Moab. He's the ancestor of Moab until this day. And the younger one also bore a son, and she called him Ben-Ami. He is the ancestor of the children of Ammon until this day. So Moab was the ancestor of Rus, who was the great-grandmother of David HaMelech. This is where you find David coming out of Sodom. And Ammon, as we mentioned, I think last week, was the ancestor of Naamah Ammonis, who was a wife of Shlomo HaMelech. So there's two different great women who actually descended from these two relationships. I'm sorry.